to start talking about the past history of Israel and then gradually take it up to the present day time. When Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the noted American poet, wrote The Jewish Graveyard at Newport, he concluded it with these lines: "But ah, what once has been shall be no more. The groaning earth in travail and in pain brings forth its races, but does not restore. And the dead nations shall never rise again." Longfellow penned these words in 1852 at a time when it seemed impossible that the dead nation of Israel could ever rise again. Little did Longfellow realize that among the lifeless Jews scattered around the world, there was to be thrown the eternal spark of life. That message was a rebirth, kindled by the message of Theodore Herzl in 1896, the message of the Jewish state, the Jewish state. For more than 1,800 years, the chosen people of God, the dead nation of Israel, wandered as forsaken corpses in the great wilderness of the Gentile nations. But the same God who allowed this punishment of a rejecting nation to occur has now caused a dead nation to be resurrected from its Gentile graveyard. Longfellow was wrong. God has lifted up a scattered corpse into a living nation, the risen nation of Israel. When the great tribulation period begins on this planet, both unbelieving Jew and Gentile will personally feel the wrath of Almighty God. We closed last week's broadcast with Ezekiel 37 and verse 5. We had already covered Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to continue this exposition of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And each week we'll continue line by line, verse by verse, through this chapter, Ezekiel 37, and then we'll continue on through Ezekiel 38 and 39, and possibly reach on over as far as Ezekiel 43 before we're finished. We close prophecy material last week with Ezekiel 37:5, where Ezekiel writes, "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." This verse gives a preview of what God is going to do in the verses which follow. He is going to transform these dead bones into a living nation of flesh, blood, and finally breath. It is not to be done instantly, but rather in a series of stages, as one would perform in building a human body over a skeletal frame. Verse 6 of Ezekiel 37 describes this building of a living human body, Israel, over her dead bones. Ezekiel writes, "And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." When he states, "I will lay sinew upon you," it refers to those tissues, such as nerve tissue, immediately touching the bones. Then he states, "and will bring up flesh upon you." That pictures all that exists between sinew and skin. He states, "and cover you with skin," portrays the dermis, epidermis, and general structure we identify as skin. The expression, "and put breath in you," is a description of the process by which physical, not spiritual, life continues. After God brings a skeletal form together, after God puts a skeleton together, then covers it with a body, he puts breath in it, for physical life among the Gentile nations of the world. He states, and put breath in you. This is not the spiritual rebirth of Israel. This was her recognition of being a living physical nation by most of the Gentile nations. Her spiritual rebirth does not occur until it is stated, ye shall know that I am the Lord. And when that comes to pass, then that is her spiritual rebirth. This is the spiritual rebirth of the nation in that it follows her physical birth in time. It is the last link in a natural chain of nation rebuilding, which is characterized by the chronological sequence of bone, sinew, flesh, breath, physical life, and finally spiritual reconciliation with her God. This chronological sequence, prophesied some 2,600 years ago, really began in 1896, and it is still continuing. Verse 7 in Ezekiel chapter 37 marks the beginning of the chronological sequence outlined in verse 6. Ezekiel writes, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. He says, there was a noise. This was the noise heard round the world in 1896-97, as Jews rallied behind the thundering message of the Jewish state, which was delivered by Theodor Herzl. This message from Switzerland was soon echoed around the world, and the birth of Zionism sprang forth as the dry bones began to cry out, we want a homeland in Israel. Ezekiel then states, and behold, a shaking. This was the shaking of the bones that brought them to life and caused them to come together as a people under the British Protectorate of Palestine, which was established by the League of Nations mandate in 1920. It's been a long process, but it has occurred and will continue to occur, and God's word will be fulfilled. There are many things going on in the world today. Unbelievable, horrific acts of terrorism. Ungodly conduct by individuals and nations. Terrifying religious fanaticism. Unbelievable tales of horror that come from countries showing human beings deprived of any semblance of human rights. We are a world in chaos and turmoil. God indicated this would happen, but he began to build Israel again in 1896. She became a nation in 1948, a physical nation. She has been a burdensome stone to all nations, a trembling cup to all nations. She is the central focus of the world and the conflict that goes on between her and her Islamic enemies is what all eyes on the earth are now focused on. I think it's wise to go back and look at what God said he would do, what he has done, and what he is doing, because he goes on to say some things that are going to happen, and he wrote this through the prophet Ezekiel some 600 years ago. He goes on to tell us some things that haven't happened yet. So if we know that these things he said would happen 600 B.C., in 600 B.C., if he could prophesy all this and it's already happened, then the things that he says are going to happen, we can rest assured will happen. Now, verse 8 of Ezekiel 37 states, "And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them." This verse continues the building of flesh and blood bodies over the dry bones God has gathered together in the midst of the Gentile nations. Ezekiel states, "The sinew and the flesh came upon them." By 1930, approximately 160,000 Jews had come home. Israel did not yet have the appearance of a nation, but it was developing the internal nucleus. Then Isaiah states, "And the skin covered them from above." By 1948, a breathless physical nation had grown as a body with the British protectorate. The full body was there, but one thing was missing. One thing. Ezekiel writes, "But there was no breath in them." That is what was missing. They were not recognized as a genuine living nation. They were a group of people with no national breath. But then in verse 9 of Ezekiel chapter 37, we find a rendering of God's solution to the closing breath problem we have just covered in verse 8. As Ezekiel writes, "Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." This is not God breathing spiritual rebirth into the Jewish nation. That comes later in verse 14 of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The four winds represent north, south, east, and west. And, as such, they portray the locations of all the nations of the world. Most of the nations of the world, United Nations, on May the 14th, 1948, breathed upon the dead body of Israel under the direction of God, and Israel became a recognized, physically reborn nation. God has Ezekiel continue to write in verse 10 of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And verse 10 shows the results of verse 9. Ezekiel writes, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." What is that? Worldwide recognition, except for Arab nations. And that worldwide recognition gave them physical life. And they stood on their own two feet. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." The fact that they have defeated the Arab nations around them in 1948, 1967, and 1973 testifies they have been an exceeding great army. God continues to inspire Ezekiel to write in verse 11 of chapter 37. Verse 11 describes the symbolism of verses 1 and 2, which we covered in our last broadcast. Ezekiel writes, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." The bones are clearly identified as the entire nation of Israel. It paints a concise picture of a dead nation without hope, scattered across the world in small parts, cut off from one another. This is a perfect picture of the descendants of Israel, the man Jacob, from about AD 135 until the 20th century. God has Ezekiel continue to write in verse 12 of chapter 37. And verse 12 continues to explain the symbolism of verses 7 through 10. Ezekiel writes, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." This outlines the gradual drawing of Jews from out of their graves all over the earth. This shows us some things that are going to happen that are staggering to the human imagination. It shows us terrifying events beyond our wildest imagination. God continues to write. I think it would do well to stop at this point and go back and review slightly. In a previous broadcast using Ezekiel 37:6, we presented the building of a living nation over her dead, dry bones in the Gentile valleys of the world. He states, "I will lay sinew upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." The details of how this was done, Ezekiel outlined in verses 7 through 12. The outline's conclusion was the placing of Jews in their natural homeland, the land of Israel. In this broadcast, we will begin to present the physical aspect of God's work, the spiritual rebirth of the nation of Israel, as described in Ezekiel 37, verses 13 and 14. "And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Verse 13 begins, "And ye shall know, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." This represents the final aspect of God's word outlined in verse 6. It is the spiritual rebirth of the remnant of Israel at the end of the Great Tribulation period. Only one-third of the population of Israel will survive this time of terror, according to verses 8 and 9 of Zechariah chapter 13. In Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, Zechariah writes, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God." And according to Revelation 12, 6 and 17, they will flee into the Negev wilderness with a remnant of the woman seed. And the woman seed was, is, and always shall be Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, the seed prophesied and promised as Messiah in Genesis 3:15, the seed who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They are to flee to the Negev with a remnant of the woman's seed in their midst for 3.5 years. We're told in Revelation 12:6, and the woman, Israel, the nation of Israel, fled in the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 continues in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. When I have opened your graves, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, between the word when in verse 13 and the word then in verse 14 is the prophecy of the gathering, the physical rebirth, spiritual rebirth, and millennial restoration of the nation of Israel. It is a description of a physical gathering and rebirth of a nation brought up out of a worldwide Gentile graveyard. The close of verse 13 shows Israel as we know her today, a nation physically reborn from the foreign ground of Gentile nations to her home ground of Israel. Verse 14 marks the spiritual rebirth of the nation of Israel. As Ezekiel writes, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. At the end of 3.5 years of terrible worldwide horror, a very wonderful thing will happen. The believing remnant of Israel will accept their returned Messiah, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. The closing statement of verse 14 leaves no doubt that at this point in time, the entire remnant of the nation of Israel, having survived the time of Jacob's trouble, will have been made aware of and will know that all the words spoken by the Lord concerning his remnant have been performed by his power alone. Prophecy is a wonderful thing. Something God gave us so that as it was fulfilled, we could rest in the assurance that everything he said about everything was true. Much of the prophecy of Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled. The rest will soon be fulfilled. We'll be talking about that, Lord willing, on our next Sunday morning broadcast, same time and same station. We present these broadcasts, and I guess you've noticed we don't ask for any money. I think there's nothing wrong with asking for money, and I'm not putting down any of those TV evangelists that do. That's fine. We don't ask for any money. We give you a free book. We have no hidden notions or no hidden agenda. We want people to know Christ as their Savior before he comes to catch out all those that are saved and carry them into heaven. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. He is the God not only of Israel, but of all men, both Jew and Gentile. You need a Savior. We started doing this broadcast over a year ago because we believe the time is very short. You may say, well, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. The Lord said, in a time when you think not, I'll come. Ladies and gentlemen, when the year 2000 passed and he didn't come. Many scoffers said, "See, we told you, all things continue as they were since the beginning of the world." If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to turn to God, repent of your sinful condition, and trust in Jesus to save you from what you are and what we all are. Sinners who need a Savior that saves by grace. I hope you'll go into the privacy of your own bedroom or wherever you might have a private place. Just between you and God, ask Jesus Christ to save you. He's promised he would. Your belief that he will do what he promised is what he uses to seal your soul for all eternity.